The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Well, you've heard about the controversial practice of grave soaking. What about Bible rubbing?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, biblical scholar and cultural commentator, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice for moral sanity and spiritual clarity. Call 866-34-TRUTH to get on The Line of Fire. And now, here's your host, Dr. Michael Brown.
We're going to have some fun today, but we're going to get into the word that's going to be productive. So we're going to have some fun, but it's going to be edifying, and it may stretch some of you, but I want to get everyone thinking. This is Michael Brown. Here's the number to call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. If you used to be charismatic, continuationist, Pentecostal, in other words, believed in speaking in tongues for today, or gift of prophecy for today, or healing is normative in the church, used to believe that, and you don't any longer, I'd love for you to tell me why. If you were not charismatic, Pentecostal, continuationist, but you are now, I'd love to hear why. And scripturally, I'd love to hear, okay, here's why scripturally I don't believe these things are for today. Or here's why scripturally I do believe these things are for today. Now, here's why it matters. If God has given us the power of the Spirit, if he has equipped us as his witnesses, and this is part of what we need to do his work effectively, to see the spread of the gospel, to push back against the forces of spiritual darkness. If this is what we need to do the job, then by all means, we should embrace everything God has for us. We should embrace the gifts, the power, the anointing, the graces that he has, because it's his work. It's his name at stake. If this is how we better bear witness to him and glorify his name and make him known and extend the gospel all around the world and hasten the return of Jesus in doing so, if that's the case, then overwhelmingly we should embrace everything the Spirit is doing and everything the Spirit has for us as his people. Now, if it's not the case, if there's a lot of weirdness going on, a lot of spiritual deception, a lot of flesh, even demonic counterfeit, people claiming the things of the Spirit when, in fact, it's not really the Spirit, it's not really for today, then by all means, we should reject these things. We should expose what's wrong. We should expose the error. And we should just get back to what God has promised. So either way, I think you'd have to agree it's important. Either this is something essential God is doing in the earth today and something that he has given his people so that we can better do his work and serve him more effectively. And friends, to be frank, if part of my calling is to see a healthy church, and that starts with a healthy you, yeah, we're not talking about physically today, but spiritually, then I want to see you thriving in everything God has for you, and I want to be an example to the body, thriving in everything God has. At the same time, you better believe it's important that we reject the counterfeit, that we reject that which claims to be the Spirit and is not, that which is false, claiming to be true. So it's important that we sort this out. Either there is a massive outpouring taking place around the world that is bringing hundreds of millions of people to Jesus. In fact, the greatest outpouring worldwide in the history of the church, in terms of people coming to faith, converts, disciples around the world, numbering hundreds and hundreds of millions and happening with exponential increase since the beginning of the last century, or there is a mass deception spreading around the earth that is bringing hundreds of millions of people into a false experience with a false Jesus. Again, either way, I think you agree, this is something very, very important. Okay, so maybe you heard controversy having to do with Bethel Church, people involved in the church, some involved in leadership, students from the ministry school, doing something that got called grave soaking or grave sucking, where some of these folks would go and let's say there was a grave site of a famous Christian leader, a famous missionary, and they'd go there and they'd lay on the site and just say, oh God, give me some of that anointing, the grace that was on them, give it to me. And they would lay there as if they were sucking this in spiritually. Now, Frankly, I don't know anyone who's done that. To be totally candid, I don't know anyone personally. I have no personal friend who's done that, no personal colleague who's done that, nor do I know anywhere where it's practiced on a regular basis around the world. So let's just say there are 650 million charismatic Pentecostal continuationists around the world today. That's a fairly fair estimate, at least 600 million. If it was 6,000 people that actually did this, which to me is a crazy high number, But if it was, all right, that would be one in 1,000 worldwide. So what is representative? If one in 1,000 people in your denomination believes a certain thing, one in 1,000 people in your church holds to a certain thing, one in 1,000 people in your circle of friends hold to it, that is fringe. Nonetheless, it's got a lot of attention. So some years ago, Bill Johnson had a new book coming out. Pastor Bill Johnson, a publisher that we've both worked with, reached out to me, Destin Image, and said, hey, would you like to have him on the air to talk about his book? I said, absolutely. But because there are a lot of controversial questions surrounding Bethel, as long as I can answer the questions. So Bill and I are colleagues, not close friends, but colleagues, and with mutual respect and honor, and then some differences in practice and other things along the way. But mutual colleagues, and I believe that God's used Bill and Bethel in many great ways. And then I have differences with certain things where we've communicated honestly, candidly. But if he was going to be on the air, it was only fair that I would ask him a lot of the questions that come my way. So this was our discussion from several years back about the phenomenon of, quote, grave soaking. I want to ask you one other question that's come up a lot, and people ask me to ask you about it. I want to read something that your associate colleague for many years, Chris Vallotton, wrote. He said, I've been asked what I think about grave sucking several times lately. It's May 19th, 2015, he wrote this. Personally, I'd never heard the phrase before a couple of months ago. I guess they're asking if I believe you can receive some dead person's anointing by laying on their grave. So he says he thinks it came from 2 Kings 13, where bones of a dead man was thrown on the bones of Elisha. And the person revived and stood up to his feet. And he says this, it's been an inside joke among our Bethel team for years. I really thought it was funny until some folks took it seriously. I mean, if God wanted us to receive some kind of impartation from people who have already passed, then certainly we would have some New Testament examples or instruction on it. Furthermore, if you could receive some gift from people after they died, then why did Joseph want Jacob to lay hands on his sons before he passed if they could just as easily have received an impartation at his funeral? I think the Elisha story was never meant to be repeated, as there are no other accounts of it in the Bible. The scriptures need to be the foundation in which we base all of our experiences. Chris writes, we are a radical group of revivalists who want to be on the cutting edge of everything God has for us, but it's really important in our zeal for God we don't become spiritually weird. I love it when Jesus' people boldly go where few have dared to tread, yet it's also important that we learn from our mistakes. I have done and said some pretty stupid things in the name of God over the years. I regret every one of them. Personally, I think we should take flowers to the graves of our loved ones, pay our respects, and leave it at that. That's your colleague, Chris. So Bill, I apologize for having to ask some of the questions, but they come up so much, and I want to remove any misunderstanding so people can find out what you really have to say. So, sure. Do you endorse, preach, teach, encourage the practice of going to the graves of deceased men and women of God to try to suck the anointing out of the earth?
No. Absolutely not. We don't talk to the dead. We don't look for impartation from the dead. We don't worship the dead. But I will go to, you know, I've gone to Charles Finney's gravesite, and I'll pray, God, do in our country what you did through him, and I'll use it as a point of faith to. I feel like we are supposed to honor. I don't know that you need to go to a gravesite, but I have gone. I've gone to Evan Roberts, and I've prayed there, God, do what you did in Wales, do it again, release it all over the earth. And so I use it as a, you know, as a point of reminder of how God used somebody in the past, but not to receive from them, but just as a. Just, you know, it's just like a postcard or something to remind you of some other place.
All right. Well, hang on here for a second. Hang on. I want to point out something. A friend sent me this post on Instagram. It is from Pastor Steve Lawson. Steve Lossie, a friend, colleague of John MacArthur, a great preacher of the Word of God, respected reform leader himself, cessationist. So I have great respect for his ministry, and then obviously have differences on various theological points. But check this out. Check this out. This is posted on Instagram 3 days ago, and he's there in clerical robes, and he's got his hand, his knuckles, and his thumb on a big Bible, all right? Before I preached today on Martin Lloyd-Jones' pulpit at Westminster Chapel, I was able to put on his Genevan preaching robe and open his pulpit Bible to Romans, truly an honor, hoping something would rub off on me. The heresy of Bible rubbing and cloak wearing. We've gone from the heresy of grave soaking to the heresy of Bible rubbing, putting his hand on a Bible and putting the garment on of this man of God who's been deceased for decades, putting that on with the hope that something would rub off on him. Heresy! Heresy! Everybody, storm his sight and expose this terrible... Okay, I'm not worked up about this in the least. I get it. I understand what he's saying. And obviously tongue-in-cheek about something rubbing off on him. But is it so odd that he did that? Okay? So I reject any idea of grave-soaking, grave-sucking. It's wrong. I never supported it. I reject it. I absolutely affirm what Chris Vallotton, the executive pastor at Bethel, said. It's wrong. I affirm what Bill Johnson said. It's wrong. We all reject it. We all reject it. But can you understand some sincere 18, 19-year-old going to the gravesite of a previous man or woman of God and laying on it and saying, oh God, give me some of what they had. Let me receive some of what they had. There was an anointing. There was a grace. There was something on it. May I receive it? Just like Steve Lawson, he puts on the man's preaching outfit. He puts his hand on his pulpit Bible, hoping something would, quote, rub off on him. Obviously, it's just a picture, and he's not making a theological statement, but I get it. I understand why God would do, why someone would do that. I could understand you go to a historic church where God moved mightily, or a missions post where God moved mightily, or stand behind the pulpit of a famous preacher and say, oh God, give me some of what they had. Lord, may that anointing come on me. Lord, you anointed them to shake a nation. Use me to shake a nation. Or this great prayer warrior. You know, you go to where they used to kneel in prayer. Oh God, may that same spirit of prayer come on me. Why do we make such a fuss about this? Why do we get so worked up about this? Well, heresy, calm down. I understand why people do these things. And if I was a heresy hunter, I'd go after Steve Lawson now. But we're going to come back and look at Scripture. You weigh in. You can agree with me, differ with me. That's why the phone lines are open. 866-348-7884. Quick word from our co-sponsor, Trivita.
Chronic inflammation is the greatest health threat to humanity. Infections, injuries, toxins, poor diet, and chronic stress can attack your immune system and lead to chronic inflammation. But now there's a solution you can fight this dangerous silent killer with. Nopalea, made from the superfruit of the Nepal cactus, containing a unique group of bioflavonoids clinically shown to reduce chronic inflammation.
In a random, double-blind, placebo-controlled study, it showed a reduction of elevated, at-risk C-reactive protein levels, resulting in an improvement in range of motion in the back, neck, and joints, and an overall improvement in the quality of life.
Nopalea has helped thousands of people by lowering levels of chronic inflammation.
Let's hear what customers are saying.
I'm a personal trainer and owner of 3 gyms. Super excited, doing a renovation in here, bringing new equipment in. And as I was bringing the new equipment in, I was trying to move a piece. I moved, the equipment didn't move, and I injured myself severely. So it was frustrating. It was really depressing. I wasn't able to work out. I wasn't able to train. I wasn't able to do just normal daily functions. After taking Nopalea, I found that it really helped with my recovery, not only with my severe injury in my back, but it also helped in my recovery of my workouts.
Nopalea has helped thousands of people by lowering levels of chronic inflammation.
To place your order, call 800-771-5584 or online at trivita.com. As a new customer introductory offer, use promo code BROWN25 for a 25% discount on your purchase of Nopalea. And 100% of your first order will go to the support of Line of Fire. Go to trivita.com or call 800-771-5584. Again, 800-771-5584.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on the Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us. 866-348-7884. Were you formerly charismatic Pentecostal continuationist and you're not any longer? You still follow Jesus, but you're not any longer? Tell me why. Or the reverse. You came to faith in an environment that did not believe saying healing is a normative thing today or tongues or prophecy is normative today, and now you believe those things. Why? Or why do you differ with me based on Scripture? 866-34-TRUTH. We're going to go to the Word momentarily. But first, what do you make of this report? I mean, it's a really weird report. So this preacher, this tribal preacher in Africa, comes upon this demonized man. The guy's wreaking havoc in his village. And it's this wild scene that the preacher drives the demons out of him. And next thing, that there's a stampede of gazelles. The preacher allegedly drove the demons into the gazelles. There's a stampede of gazelles, and they run off a cliff. And crash and die, like 200 of them. I think, that's weird. Oh, no, okay, actually, I just made that up. But something like that does happen in the Bible with the ministry of Jesus. Remember it? Yeah. What did you think of this one? There's another weird one. This preacher in India, there's a kid that dies, and they're praying for his resurrection from the dead. It's like, I don't know, over a day he's been dead. And this preacher, known for miracles, is just coming by the village. So they bring the boy out, the corpse, and he actually lays on the boy. He lays on him, puts his mouth on the boy's mouth, his nose on the boy, just eye to eye, nose to nose, faith to faith, and breathes into him, and the kid comes back to life. So that's weird. Okay, I just made that up also, but that's how Elisha raised the dead. In 2 Kings. That's kind of odd, isn't it? Or did you hear about this? This is like a really weird one. Some guy, it's again, tribal region. This is actually India as well, tribal region. And he's chopping wood, and the axe head goes flying off, and it sinks. There's like a pond, but it's deep and it's like infested with, you know, nasty creatures in there. There's no way he's going in to get it, but there's a man of God there and says, I'll get it for you. And he takes, this is a weird thing, he takes like this bundle of rocks, just puts it in like a little sack and throws it in, and the axe head floats to the surface. That's weird. Okay, I made that up to you. You're getting the point. Yeah, that's in the Bible, with Elisha causing an axe head to float by throwing something else in. Or how about healing a blind person or a deaf person by spitting on their hand and putting it on them, or spitting on the person? And don't you know, in the days of Jesus, you know who used spittle to heal in the days of Jesus? Magicians. Magicians did. A famous New Testament scholar of last generation wrote a book called Jesus the Magician. He was going to show how Jesus used magical practices. And then if you go back to Old Testament times, the Babylonians and the different gods they worship. Remember, there's a god in the Old Testament called Marduk. So Marduk was the head of the Babylonian pantheon. And it was said of Marduk that he had the spittle of life. In other words, he healed people or raised the dead through his spittle. Now Jesus uses spittle to heal the sick. If there were heresy hunters around in Jesus' day, they certainly would have nailed him on that. Why didn't he just say be healed to the deaf and mute man or to the blind man? Why does he take dirt, spits on it, turns it into mud, puts it on the guy's eyes, and says, go wash in the pool of Siloam? Why not just say, see, eyes be open? Why not just lay his hands on him? What? Well, God has his reasons, and he often does things in ways very different than what we expect. So let's just go back to Scripture. Let's go back to Scripture. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. All right, Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 14. Acts 2, beginning in verse 14. So the Holy Spirit's been poured out on the 120 in an unprecedented way. A great crowd gathers at Shavuot, Pentecost, the Feast of Weeks. Devout Jews have come from all over the world. Apparently, they hear the sound of the blowing violent wind. They hear the men speaking these foreign languages. It looks like they're drunk to half the crowd or some of the crowd. Were they staggering? Were they whatever it was? Because Peter references what you see and hear. But he stands up. Peter stands up at the 11. And he says, fellow Jews, everyone lives in Jerusalem. Let me explain this to you. Listen carefully. These people are not drunk. It's just 9 in the morning, literally third hour of the day. So it starts 6 a.m. 9 in the morning. They're not drunk. But rather, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says. Now, Peter added those words, in the last days. They're not in the Hebrew. And in the last days, not in the Greek either. Peter added these words, in the last days, God says. So are we living in the last days? Have we been living in the last days the last 2,000 years? Yeah, okay, so let's keep reading that. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. So when? During the last days, the period in which we live now. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. This is to be something ongoing. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. So this is going to be the norm in this period called the last days. Sons and daughters prophesying, young men seeing visions, old men dreaming dreams. Okay, let's go over to 1 Corinthians 14:1. 1 Corinthians 14:1, after Paul has outlined the way of love. 1 Corinthians 14:1, what does Paul say there? Follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, or spiritual gifts. Eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially prophecy. Right? Not preaching is different than prophecy. Teaching is different than prophecy. This is a directive from Paul, not an idea or maybe something you might want to think about. No, this is a directive. I'm telling you to earnestly desire spiritual gifts, especially prophecy. Let's go to the end of the chapter. After he talks about proper order and how things should operate in the Spirit, what does he say at the end of 1 Corinthians 14? Therefore, my brothers and sisters, be eager to prophesy and do not forbid speaking in tongues. And remember, what Paul also writes to the Corinthians, if all of you are speaking in tongues, someone comes from the outside, they're going to think you're just speaking gibberish. Literally in Greek, they're going to think you're barbarians. Because barbarians sound like they're saying bar, 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 but what is, they were foreigners, they're outsiders. They're going to just think you're speaking gibberish, is basically what Paul's saying, because they're not going to understand. Just like the accusation today, you're speaking gibberish. So we have a directive in the word to earnestly desire spiritual gifts, especially prophecy, a directive in the word not to forbid speaking in tongues, and a promise from God that in these last days, the Spirit will be poured out, sons and daughters, servants will prophesy, and it's going to be a widespread thing, not just on a chosen few, widespread, and young men will see visions, old men will dream dreams. This will be normative in this period in which we live. until Jesus returns and the last days come to an end. So when I was trying to get away from the gifts of the Spirit, trying to get away from tongues and prophecy, the late 70s, early 80s, questioning a lot of these things, reading books against it in strongly reformed circles and with colleagues who were strongly cessationist, it was the Word that convinced me. The Word that convinced me that I was wrong. The Word that convinced me that the gifts of the Spirit were for today, regardless of what I saw or not. Whether I saw anybody healed, healing was for today. Whether I saw true prophecy, prophecy was for today. I was convinced by the Word, and then the Spirit confirmed it. And of course, He's moving gloriously, wonderfully all around the world. And we may differ here. I'm not going to divide over it. I teach at cessationist schools sometimes. I participate in cessationist conferences. Recently spoke to a gathering of cessationist leaders, just to point to them on the culture wars. I serve and honor my cessationist brothers. I'm not better than you, bigger than you, stronger than you. I simply say, if God's given us something that will glorify Him and touch this world, we need to embrace it and not get all worked up with this heresy hunting. Let's save heresy hunting for real heresy. Then let's hunt it together. We'll be right back. You can't resist us! Hey friends, Dr. Michael Brown here. Do you remember when people thought I was crazy when I said it's not too late for America, that God can still do something in our country, that there is going to be a pushback, a gospel-based moral and cultural revolution? And do you remember when people thought that you were crazy because you felt the same way, because you believed what I was saying and already felt it in your heart? Well, friends, that pushback is here. The gospel-based moral and cultural revolution we've been talking about for 25 years is unfolding, and we are right in the thick of it. And the Line of Fire broadcast is divinely positioned for such a time as this. Friends, you would be so gratified and blessed as I hear, if you could hear what I hear, testimony after testimony as leaders, young people, old people, moms, dads, students, people from all backgrounds come up to me and say, Dr. Brown, you're providing a template for us. You're providing a blueprint for us. You're showing us how to do this, how to have hearts of compassion, backbones of steel. But friends, it's a joint effort. We do this together. And with your support, we can amplify this broadcast around the nation and amplify this voice to shake the nation. Join our support team today. Become a torchbearer with a dollar or more per day. Here's the number to call to sign up. 800-538-5275. That's 800-538-5275, or go to askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org, and become a monthly supporter. Click on Donate Monthly Support. I want to immediately give you two classic books, Compassionate Father or Consuming Fire, Who is the God of the Old Testament, and Revolution, which will really show you what it means to be a Jesus follower today. Plus, you get free access to our online classes and so much more. Sign up today, askdrbrown.org.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on the Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, thanks for joining us. So, yeah, an open invitation to stand with us on the front lines. Friends, we're making a difference. And if you want to see America impacted, if you want to see the church thriving and burning with a heart for revival in the nations, if you want to see Jewish people coming to faith, if you want to accelerate, amplify what we're doing, stand with us today. Thank you for your partnership in the gospel. And dollar a day or more, that's all it takes to join our full support team, become a torchbearer, get all the benefits. Before you do it, though, go to the website, askdrbrown.org, click on Donate, and then Monthly Support, and read all the benefits, because I want you to know how we pour back into you, how we express our appreciation to you and say, let's strengthen you, let's pour into you, let's bless you in far more ways than you can give. We want to outgive back to you in our holy partnership to touch America, to touch the nations, to see Israel saved, You can call 800-538-5275 and say, hey, I want to join the team. And it's just a natural thing. If you've been blessed by our ministry, this is a way of saying thank you. But more importantly, helping us bless more. That's the biggest thing, because we know the thank you. We feel that in our hearts from you. But this is the best way that you can say, hey, the best way I can show my appreciation to Dr. Brown is by exposing this message to more people. So thank you for your support. 800-538-5275. Say, I want to join the support team, or go to AskDrBrown.org, click Donate Monthly Supporter. On your app, you can click Give and join us there. Okay, one more thing I want to say. As a leader in the charismatic movement, by God's grace, I have been called to correct a lot of error in our midst. So I'm not God's chief policeman. I am not, as one person called me, the gatekeeper of the charismatic movement. There is no such thing. I'm not the Pope over Pentecostals, charismatics. Plenty of the 600 plus million charismatics, Pentecostals around the world have no idea I exist. But where I have seen abuses, it is part of my calling to bring correction. And it's certainly a biblical calling that leaders should embrace. So 1991, I wrote the book, Whatever Happened to the Power of God, with the subtitle, Is the Charismatic Church Slain in the Spirit or Down for the Count? And in point of fact, that followed on the end of the American Gospel Enterprise in 89 and How Saved Are We in 90, and It's Time to Rock the Boat in 93, all of which directly address issues, weaknesses, problems within the charismatic Pentecostal movement in particular. Then in 2018, I wrote Playing with Holy Fire, a wake-up call to the Pentecostal Charismatic Church. And often behind the scenes over the years, I've been in private contact with leaders saying, hey, this is not right, or I saw this in your book and it concerned me, or do you realize what people are saying, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm very happy when I see error, just like I welcome it, the correction in my own life where there's a problem or an issue, to be sharpened. And this is, you know, on a very regular basis, sharpen me, help me to grow and be more like Jesus. So we do this, but I'm not God's corrector in chief. And I am, many of the things that get people all worked up. I was interacting with someone producing some films, and they're going to do this 30-minute episode on grave soaking, or this one-hour episode, whatever it was, on grave soaking. I thought, why? Leaders of Bethel have repudiated it. Leaders of Bethel, where some people have practiced it, say it's wrong, say it's unbiblical. Why on earth would you put out a whole video about it, especially when it represents a fringe of a fringe of a fringe of a fringe and a fringe of a fringe of a fringe of practice? But I also said to this individual, but hang on. The thing itself, you're blowing out of all proportion. It's not some, I am going to commune with the dead. I am going to get revelation from the dead. No, it's just people with a misguided practice. But it's not that markedly different from what Steve Lawson did, putting on the D. Martin Lloyd Jones pulpit outfit, putting his hand on the pulpit Bible that he used, and saying maybe some of it would rub off on me. He's communicating with the dead, the spirits of the dead. No, he's not doing that. He would never think of doing that. And even if some of it's tongue-in-cheek, why pose for that picture? Why do? Because you're thinking, hey, there's God, you use this man a certain way. Give me some of what he had. What's wrong with that? What's heretical about that? Why get so worked up over it? And what I often find, to be candid, that some of my charismatic friends will believe anything. They have no filter, no discernment, it seems. They'll believe anything, and it's very concerning and disturbing. And then I have some cessationist friends that will do what Jesus rebuked the hypocritical leaders for, which is straining on a gnat and swallowing a camel. They'll spread divisive stuff about other brothers and sisters in the body. They'll produce things that generate hate and division. They will even bear false witness by taking things out of context if it helps their cause, while focusing on a tiny issue. It's like, no. Those are both dangerous extremes and both negative and destructive. I say this last thing, then I'm going to the phones. I was talking to a colleague. about the supernatural and talking about the need for more discernment and concerns I had with gullibility in our movement. And he didn't differ with me on that, but he said, Mike, if you just read the Bible, you're just in a room alone reading the Bible, would you expect to see supernatural things happening today? Would you expect to see unusual things happening? Would you expect to see divine visitations and unusual miracles and even angelic visitations? The answer is yeah, because there's not a hint in Scripture that all of this was to stop. 1 Corinthians 13, 8-10 absolutely does not say that, and this verse was not quoted for centuries and centuries and centuries with some idea that when the canon was completed, the outpouring would stop or the gifts would cease. That's a more recent interpretation and a fringe one at that. It's becoming increasingly fringe. You'll see more and more top commentators on 1 Corinthians, even cessationists, rejecting that argument with all respect to those that still hold to it. It's outdated, outmoded, unhistorical, and exegetically false. But if you just reading it, you think, okay, the parting of the Red Sea or the Jordan River, those were unique things in time, or Elijah being caught up to heaven in chariots of fire in a whirlwind. That was like a one-time thing. But you'd expect to see healings on a regular basis, especially when Jacob, James, the fifth chapter, makes it an ongoing church practice with a sick person. You go to them, obviously, you know, laid up. You go to them, and the elders pray over them in faith in the name of the Lord and anoint them with oil, and the prayer offered in faith makes the sick person well. You just expect to see healings on a regular basis. You'd expect to see tongues, prophecy. You expect to see these things happen. You'd have no clue that they're not for today if you just were shut in the room reading the Bible. And then if you were brought all around the world where these things are happening, you'd think, yeah, how come we're not seeing it even more? That would be your question. Why aren't we seeing it even more? And then what? The churches that don't believe in this for today? What? Where'd that come from? I'm just being candid. And again, to me, all starts with Scripture, 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 Scripture. That's where my doctoral dissertation was on the Hebrew word for healing, because I had to understand what the Bible actually said, because I was trying to sort these things through in my life. Having embraced them when I was a new believer, then started to reject them and really question them, and then being convinced by the word again that these things were true, but yet being turned off by some wrong practices, I had to go back to the word, the word, the word, the word. Everything flows from there for me. So I encourage you and challenge you, do that. Just read the word over and over and over. Ask God for insight and think, well, what should we expect? What should we believe? What should be the norm? All right, with that, let's go to the phones. We will start with Michelle in Reese, Michigan. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. So I was steeped in Catholicism from child till 24 years of age until about 3 years ago. I'm 58 now, Reformed theology, steeped in both of them. MacArthur, Piper, Baucom, Alistair Begg, they were my heroes. Now God has exposed me to you, Frontier Alliance International, Art Katz, Mike Bickle, Reggie Kelly. I see things very differently, and I praise God for that. You know, my love for Israel is growing. He's giving me understanding, but the thing I'm struggling with is longing. You gave a lot of examples today. You kind of already answered my question, but it is what I'm struggling with is I long to have an experience with God that I've never had in my life. I long to know from him. Yes, Michelle, I have you here. You're on the right path, because everybody thinks I'm nuts right now. My family, friends, nobody wants to listen to me. About God's love for Israel, and I'm praying for these gifts. I'm struggling with praying for these gifts because of how I was raised,
right,
as a Catholic, as a Reformed theology. Yeah. So
Michelle, I'm just going to start here, and then we'll continue on the other side of the break. But that's why I'm jumping in. I want to make sure I can answer before the break. And then if we need more time, we'll continue after. But first. I'm thrilled with the background that you have, right? Come out of Catholicism, it gives you a certain reverence for God and a sense of God moving through history. And then the men of God you mentioned, the John MacArthurs and John Pipers and Vaudi Balcom and others, great teachers of the word, men who preach and teach holiness and believe in that, who emphasize the centrality of God. That's great. Those are I'm so glad. And now encountering what I can bring, or Art Katz, who is a deeply spiritual man, Mike Bickle, just a man of prayer and the word and a Jesus lover, and Reggie Kelly with great insights on Israel. So I think it's a great way to build. You know what I'm saying? It's you've got lots of different foundations that can be very, very helpful, even as you reject certain aspects of some of those foundations along the way. So the key is, obviously, you know that you know you're a child of God because of Jesus dying for you and having the witness in your own spirit that you're saved, as opposed right. to even experience beyond it. So you know that's the foundation, but there is this longing for everything God has for you, because when you read the word, you know there's more. You know there's an aspect of his embrace, of his love, of his goodness yep. for you, that and you know the fellowship of the Spirit that Paul writes about. So, you know, a key thing here, and we'll come back on the other side of the break. A key thing here is say, Father, I want everything you have for me. Instead of praying for specific gifts, Lord, I want everything you have for me so I can best glorify you, so I can know you more deeply and experience you more richly, so I can make Jesus known to more people. Even God's heart for Israel. So stay right there, Michelle. We'll get right back to you on the other side of the break.
You can't resist us!
Nopalea has helped thousands of people by lowering levels of chronic inflammation.
I really enjoy being physical. It's something I've just always loved, but I've definitely had times where it's really crippled me up. Being a horse trainer can be pretty physically demanding with all the duties that I have, not just riding horses for a living, saddling horses, caring for the horses. I feel like Nopalea just took the edge off, and then it's continued to keep me from getting sore. Nopalea, it's been a huge blessing.
Now there's a solution by lowering levels of chronic inflammation. Nopalea, made from the superfruit of the Nepal cactus, containing a unique group of bioflavonoids clinically shown to reduce chronic inflammation.
In a random, double-blind, placebo-controlled study, it showed a reduction of elevated at-risk C-reactive protein levels, resulting in an improvement in range of motion in the back, neck, and joints, and an overall improvement in the quality of life.
It's fun to be on the golf course again. I'm able to swing the club freely. Hopefully, I'm hitting better golf shots. Nopalea has allowed me to get back on the golf course, enjoy the game that I love, and maybe even give me that little edge to beat my friends at the game.
Nopalea has helped thousands of people by lowering levels of chronic inflammation.
To place your order, call 800-771-5584 or online at trivita.com. As a new customer introductory offer, use promo code BROWN25 for a 25% discount on your purchase of Nopalea. And 100% of your first order will go to the support of Line of Fire. Go to trivita.com or call 800-771-5584. Again, 800-771-5584.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on the Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
By the way, real life, because you know you always get it straight for me. We have a friend, a young lady, friend of the family. We've known her entire life. And for some years now, she suffered from arthritis. young lady, healthy in all other respects. And so I talk with my colleagues at Trivita about Nopalea, and we just shipped her a whole bunch of bottles, several months' supply. I can't wait to hear if she starts to feel a reduction in pain. But check this out for yourself. It's a quick call to make, and I think it's going to be worth your time. 800-771-5584. Talk with our friends there. Get a wellness consultation. But really, do check it out. I think it'll be worth your time, and you got my personal recommendation to do it. 800-771-5584. Or if it's easier, go to Trivita.com, Trivita.com, and then use the code BROWN25. That'll ensure you the best discount, and then 100% of your first order will be donated to the ministry. Okay, so I want to go back to Michelle. You still there?
I am.
Okay, so a question for you. Because some people will be listening, and they're still where you were a few years ago in terms of your own thinking. And they're saying, well, Michelle, you have the Word. The Bible is enough. Why are you looking for this deeper experience? Could you explain what's in your heart to our listeners?
Oh, boy. I'm looking for this deeper experience because I'm realizing that I haven't been given all of the truth. Michael Heiser was somebody else that came into my life 3 years ago, but in the aspect of the spiritual realm, mm-hmm. and the church totally ignores that. And now everything makes so much more sense to me. Scripture makes so much more sense to me, but I've always longed. It's got to be God that has given me this desire to know Him more intimately. And where I used to believe, like what the reformers said, you know, we don't do these gifts anymore. We don't have these at worship in church. I feel very awkward because it's like, I mean, I feel like I hold myself back, and I it's wanting to come out, but I feel like I hold myself back, and I know it's
Michelle. Are you able to say to put on some worship music or worship service on a, you know, YouTube video or something where it's a powerful charismatic expression and feel like you can enter in much more and experience God through worship much more deeply?
Probably. I actually can say that I could.
Yeah, I mean, let me encourage you to do that mm-hmm. in your own home, to find some worship songs that really minister to you and that are really Jesus-centered, you know, and exalt the Lord. And maybe it's a worship service that you enter into, or maybe it's just the song from a live service or something. But I think that would really help bring you into that presence or encounter. You know, the thing that transformed my life, once God had convicted me of sin, I mean, as a non-believing, heroin-shooting, LSD-using, rebellious kid, what changed my life was encountering God in this absolutely dynamic way with the love of God and the joy of God poured into my heart. Singing these little ditty hymns, you know, pastor's wife playing piano in this little church with maybe 50 people there, but I got overwhelmed with a sense of God's love through me, through joy that came through worship. And that's when I said, what am I doing with this drugs and junk? And I said, God, I'll never put a needle in my arm again. It was instantly set free. But it was that experience. Look, it does say in His presence is fullness of joy, right? Psalm 16. We do read, as I mentioned, 2 Corinthians 13, about the fellowship, the participation in the Holy Spirit. And you're right, when you read the Bible, we should know Him. We should have a relationship with Him. He said His sheep hear His voice. That's ongoing. So, Michelle, mm-hmm. do you have my book, Authentic Fire?
I do not.
Okay. But you're a reader, yes?
I am.
Okay. And do you have my book, Our Hands Are Stained with Blood?
I do not, no. Nope.
Okay, perfect. What I want to do is I want to send you these two books. Authentic Fire is my gracious response to Pastor John MacArthur's Strange Fire book, but in it, I have chapters about the gifts and power of the Spirit for today and a whole chapter about experiencing God. And I think as you read this, it'll give you even more scripture foundation. And then Our Hands Are Stained with Blood is the history of anti-Semitism in the church and God's eternal purposes for Israel. I believe as you read this, a lot will fall into place and your burden will deepen. And Michelle, you are anything but alone. There are literally hundreds of millions around the world who believe as you believe, based on scripture. And your own prayer, real simple, Lord, give me everything you have to best glorify you. Give me the fullness of the Spirit you have for my life to best glorify you. And I want to know, it's not Father, Son, and Holy Bible, right? That's not, no, it's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And it's the Word of God that tells us that. All right, so Michelle, our call screener is going to get your contact info. We'll mail those two books to you as a gift. Once you get to read them a few weeks or months from now, give us a call back. And Kai and Chris, let our team know the two books that we're sending out. All right. With that, thank you for the call and for your candor. And for everybody else, have you ever read Oswald Chambers? My Utmost for His Highest. My Utmost for His Highest. Daily Devotions, the best-selling, I think, to this day, daily devotional. Yes, the truth, go ahead, and you can grab our call. Great. So when you read his stuff, there's an incredible depth to it. But he was an early Pentecostal, basically, the early Pentecostal League. He went through a crisis where he was a leader. He was recognized as a teacher and enjoyed great communion with God. And then heard F.B. Meyer, I believe, preach on Luke 11:13, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father, Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So he just said, Lord, give me the Holy Spirit. And he said the next 5 years, he said the only thing that kept him out of an insane asylum was the grace of God and the kindness of his friends. He enjoyed no conscious communion with God for 5 years. 5 years he enjoyed no conscious communion with God. And he got to the point where he got up publicly at the end of a service and said, either I've got this thing by the wrong end of the stick, or if what I have is all the Christianity there is, the thing is a fraud. There was a sister leading the meeting, and she said, oh, our brother was not speaking for himself. He was speaking for us, you know, like for us to go deeper. And he said, as hard as it was to stand up the first time, he stood up a second time. And he said, I didn't speak for anyone else, speaking for myself. Either I've got this by the wrong end of the stick, or if what I have is all the Christianity there is, the thing is a fraud. And what happened? The Spirit of God touched him dramatically, filled him dramatically. And he said, if the previous 5 years, writing 5 years later, were hell on earth, the last five have been heaven on earth. He said, I was there when it happened. It happened to me. I was there when it happened. He had a deep encounter with the Holy Spirit, which shaped and marked his life, which is why when you read his stuff, it's so deep. But he hungered and thirsted and longed, saying, there's God, I know there's more. No, we're not adding to the Bible. The Bible is telling us there's more. The Bible is telling us we can know God more intimately. The Bible is telling us God wants to be more intimately involved in our lives and wants to work through us in more dynamic ways that will glorify his son, Jesus. Yes. All right, back to the phones. Let's go to Mike in Redlick, Texas. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
How are you doing?
Doing well, thank you.
You were saying earlier, I caught your, broadcast where you said if you're a Pentecostal, they give a call. And I did receive the Holy Ghost by speaking in tongues when I was about 14. And I can do that on demand. You know, I can do that, but I wasn't trained.
How was it at 14 that you received the Spirit?
My grandfather was an ordained minister and would take me to Sunday school and church. And then I was baptized. And then that night I received the Holy Ghost. I was baptized in Jesus' name.
Okay. So you were baptized, then received the Spirit and began to speak in tongues. So what you're saying is the experience of hundreds of millions around the world. No one taught you to do it, right? They didn't say these
Correct.
Words, repeat after me. And look, we could all speak, I could go blah, 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 blah. We could all speak gibberish. But when the Holy Spirit moves on you and speaks through you, something does happen. And look, all I want to say, Mike, thank you for calling. So at 14, Was he faking it? Has he been faking it all the years, the decades since then, right? Here's the point. Look at what the Word says, all right? I just, that's all I encourage you to do, is look at what the Word says. If you pray, you study, you read the Word inside and out, back and forth, and you conclude I'm wrong on these things, okay, we have a difference. We're brothers and sisters in Jesus. We agree on what matters the most. If you say I'm wrong, fine. We shouldn't expect this today. Tongues is not for today. Prophecy is not for today, etc., etc. Okay, we have a difference. But if you read the Word and you think, what do I do with this? Because I don't believe it. My church doesn't teach it. My own experience is against it, but the Word seems to say this is for today. And 1 Corinthians 14:1 is pretty blunt. To eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially that we may prophesy. And Acts 2 is pretty blunt that this is the outpouring for the last days. And I go on and on with other scriptures and promises. And just say, Lord, I want to be the most effective witness I can. I want to glorify you the best way that I can. I want the most people to know Jesus through my life. I want to stand for you and what's right. And I want to know you as intimately and fully as I can know you in this world. So, Father, everything you have for me, for the glory of your name and for the depth of our relationship, give it to me. And I'm going to keep seeking and asking until you do. Is that not the scriptural thing to do if you're convinced by the Word? Hey, God bless, friends. We'll be back with a great show tomorrow.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.